Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing pretty good today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the spring equinox of 2021 as a great time to start knowing the truth and living in the divine creation. In this show, we will discuss the chart of March 20th, 2021, as the sun entering Aries 0 degrees at 5:38 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, measured against the backdrop of consciousness, is experience and what surrounds us is within us. Listen as we explain the astrological event as a visible symbol pointing to the invisible, intangible presence of the divine idea when seen correctly. What appears as continuous change to material senses is revealing the changeless state of being when perceived spiritually. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in divine knowledge. So, the title of today's show is Spring Equinox 2021, Start Knowing. So, what do you mean by that? What does that have to do with the equinox?
Well, what we're trying to do is create a theme. See, the equinox is when the sun enters Aries, the spring equinox, which is a great time for a new beginning. And here we want to start knowing the truth. We want to stop thinking with our corporeal senses, and we want to start living out from the divine creation, which is the truth of being. Using the timing of the chart, I think could be a wonderful thing because, like we had said in the opening, we're trying to use what is visible and tangible to help us understand what is invisible and intangible. The planets and these astrological events are visible. We're using them to create this element of timing. But in the final analysis, we're really looking to come out of time. We're looking to come out of space, come out of concept, belief, stop thinking. We really want to come out of personal will and personal sense, because our potential is found in spiritual identity, which is the truth of our being.
So we said we'd use the chart to measure against the backdrop of consciousness in what surrounds us is within us. So what do we mean by the backdrop of consciousness?
Consciousness is pure, unadulterated life. It is pure principle, love. And what we're calling life really is adulterated. The minute we start to think, we break the purity of unconditioned, pure consciousness, because we're working with something that has split from that unified state. It's appearing in half, and it has a complementary, unmanifested other part. And so we're looking at a level of consciousness. But in truth, we want to look at things from the perspective of the absolute, where everything is happening at once, where everything is under the government of divine law, which is absolute harmony, the perfection of being.
Well, let's start talking about what we should learn from the chart. Can you give us some information about what it means about the sun entering Aries?
Yeah, the sun in Aries, which is a key phrase for Aries, is I am. Now, this is a first house sun in this particular chart that we're looking at from Hampton. It gives the sun angular strength. In fact, the sun and the moon are both angular in this particular chart. The first house sun and the fourth house moon in Gemini. But the first house has a lot to do with personal sense of self. And as we graduate from physical identity, which says, I need, to mental identity, which is saying, I want, to spiritual identity, which says, I am, we come out of this false sense of existence into the truth of being. And the truth of being is there is but one life, and it's eternal life. It's a changeless state of being. Also, for the equinox chart, we have Venus, Neptune, Mercury with the Sun, and also there is Chiron, Ceres, and Pallas tenanting the first house, which has 28 degrees Aquarius on the cusp. For me, this is a call to graduate to spiritual identity and prove the benefits of living under the influence of your spiritual awareness. We've been saying since the inception of Institute for Personal Development, how we think is what we become. And for us to change how we're thinking, to graduate from these modes of mortal thinking, thinking with our corporeal sense mind, and starting to know this truth, starting to know and think with divine mind, moving from duality and the belief in two powers into the understanding of this one life that is perfect, the changeless state of being. There isn't anything that needs to be added to it or taken away from it. And for us to abide in that silence, that stillness, when we're doing this, we're creating an opportunity to invite divine consciousness into our awareness so that it can express itself through us as you or I.
So we know that we can't stop thinking, but we do want to start thinking aright. Would that be correct?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. You really want to focus your awareness on what is invisible and intangible, also having a sense of belief or faith that it's there. Just because it doesn't report in your corporeal senses, the mind that we have accepted to get us through this human experience. Seeing is believing is one of the things I always remember growing up. I remember talking to somebody in a supermarket saying, X-rays don't lie. But X-rays are a picture of human conjecture. It's incomplete information. It's not the truth. And so once we get out of relying on the testimony of our corporeal senses as our sole source of validation, we create the opportunity that we can start to cultivate our spiritual senses. What is invisible and intangible, this changeless state of being, is really the only thing that you want to rely on. Again, what we've been saying in a lot of these shows is you want to prove that to be true. You don't want to just believe in something like we have been with everything that came from Orthodox religion. We're working with information with a belief in two powers and a belief that we are a finite mortal being, and we're constantly trying to figure out how the unreal became real, and we're doing it with a mind that isn't capable of bringing forth the divine image. And so as we start to expand on our understanding of how this works and we're developing spiritual sense, you realize that it is a provable, demonstrable principle.
Now, I know we said that we can't stop thinking, but yet we've also been talking about, in other shows, stop thinking and start knowing. So what would be the difference there?
Well, again, thinking is something that we do with our five senses. It is our awareness of duality, whereas knowing is what happens when you're thinking with divine mind. Rational thinking works on contrast, whereas divine mind works in terms of the absolute. In spirit, there's no separation. That spirit is whole. There's no time. There's no space. There's really no concept. There's no belief. There's no sense of personal will. Spirit is whole. It's one. Everything is subjective within itself. When we accept our identity, we transcend the false sense that we are separate. We come out of the belief in the many, and we start to abide in this more reliable, more dependable perspective. Because if you start to employ it, trust that life is perfect, and there really isn't anything that needs to be done, and then what you start to work with is coming out of the belief that there are problems, that there is sickness, suffering, disease, lack, or limitation. And the truth begins to reveal itself, and it does it in ways that you can't really explain.
So how do we take the phrase start knowing and apply that to the chart that we're talking about?
Yeah, stop thinking, start knowing. Stop dying and start living. To unbox this a little, the rulers of the ascendant, the first house cusp on this particular chart, are Saturn in Aquarius in the 12th house and Uranus in Taurus in the second house. Spiritual light passes through opaque objects, revealing the nothingness of matter. Spiritual light corrects thought by resolving things into thoughts and exchanging the objects of sense for the divine idea. As we come out of human trying, striving, struggling, planning, and we start to let this divine mind reveal itself and express itself through us, we find solution to a lot of the common problems that most of us are struggling with because we believe that we are a finite, mortal, vulnerable being, as opposed to accepting the fact that we are an eternal spiritual being.
Well, I think that's an important phrase right there, is accepting that we're more than this physical body. I believe that there is probably procedures and practice that we can do to help us do that.
I think that's what Kriya Yoga is all about, employing strategies so that we do make these shifts in consciousness. And one of the things that we always say, practice makes perfect only when practice is perfect. There is a way that we can do this. Like we say, we stop thinking because divine consciousness, this spiritual awareness, is before thought and it's above corporeal sense. But if we are constantly reacting to the testimony of our corporeal senses because we believe what is appearing in our senses is real, we're in the trap. So we really have to employ strategies so we don't react. One of the things I always say is offense is your best defense. That if you can keep your consciousness in constant relation with the divine creation, which is perfect, and even though it's invisible and it's intangible, it does become a reliable resource. But you really have to test it. One of the things that we say is you don't want to be senselessly optimistic, and at the same time, that's exactly what we want to be. We don't want to just deny the testimony of the senses. Like Mary Baker Eddy said, Jesus walking on water was science. But before poor humanity can walk on water, don't try and step onto the Atlantic. You really want to practice working with silence and in stillness and let it demonstrate its presence to you, because it's like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at something, and provided that what you're doing is what is being asked of us to do, which is like judge righteously, to think right. And we're always trying to come out of our concepts or our beliefs about these words until they become provable.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga.
This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I did have a curiosity about something that you had said earlier, and that was about the stop dying, start living. Could you just dig down a little bit deeper with that phrase, stop dying, for us?
Yeah, we're talking about false sense is dying, but truth is unchanging eternal life. Stop dying really means stop denying that we are spirit. Most of the things that we're doing when we're reacting to the testimony of our senses is reinforcing our belief that we're not the divine creation, that we're not the divine idea.
Well, I see we have some keynotes that we can talk about this upcoming spring equinox. Can we review some of that with our viewers?
Yeah, one of the things that's happening on the 20th of March is the sun is in a plying square to the solar eclipse that happened on June 21st, 2020 at 0 degrees Cancer, 21 minutes. The sun is a trigger, so here you want to look for any events that will help you understand what this eclipse represents for you. Be sure to record that in your journal. And again, what we're really looking for is what surrounds us is within us. We're looking for all the clues that we can find to let us know what is my level of consciousness. Am I living out from a sense of need? Am I living out from a sense of want? Or am I the divine child? Am I the image and likeness of this perfection of being? Does my life reflect that? The other thing that happens on the 21st is that's the first quarter phase of that solar eclipse that happened on June 21st, 2020. The eclipse is on a 2-year, 2-month, and 28-day cycle, the solar eclipse. And so the first quarter phase of the moon is when whatever began on the new moon, which is basically the seed is in the ground, it begins to sprout. It starts to break into consciousness, and we can maybe get a glimpse of what this represents for us. Getting accustomed to using the testimony of your senses as a compass, or the same way you would use your computer screen, it's a way of monitoring what's going on in consciousness. And we're striving to change how we're thinking. We want to forsake our modes of human thinking for divine knowing. Because when spirit is cause, creation is perfect. And why would we want to do it with an inferior mode of operation that's only going to bring us human conjecture? It's only going to bring us imperfections, because we're working with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image.
Swami, I have a quote here from Joel S. Goldsmith, and it's from his works, The Parenthesis in Eternity. I'm going to read the quote, and then we can talk about, maybe ask you some questions. When a call for help comes, our first and natural human reaction is the desire to change the evil appearance to a good one. If we are to succeed in spiritual living, however, we must very quickly bring to conscious awareness the truth that the object of a spiritual ministry is not to change disease into health, for health is only one of those temporary conditions that become disease tomorrow, next week, or next year, and not to decry the evil and try to bring about the good, but rather to turn away from the appearance and keep our gaze on the middle path, realizing that right where there is an appearance of either good or evil, there is spiritual reality. And that's the end of the quote. So I kind of wanted to get your thoughts about what Joel S. Goldsmith is trying to tell us.
Yeah, I think when in Kriya Yoga, we work with something very similar when we talk about Ida, Pingala, and Sushumna. Ida is the path of descending prana, which brings forth physical appearances. Pingala is the path of ascending prana, which brings forth mental images. And the middle road, Sushumna, is what he's talking about. That is how we access spiritual truth. And we're using the appearances as a gauge, as a barometer, so that I can get a better understanding of how I'm thinking. And like he says, if we're reacting to the testimony of our senses, or if we have a belief in matter and we think that there's some sort of condition or problem that happens on a corporeal sense level, and then we strive to fix that or correct it, we're in the trap that we're not keeping our attention on the middle path or the spiritual truth of being. This in the Bible is what they call judge righteously. To see the divine creation, to live out from the divine creation, the perfection of being, knowing that nothing needs to be done, nothing needs to be added to or taken away. The more we abide in this and in our silence, in our stillness, by not loving, hating, or fearing anything that appears in our corporeal senses, we're demonstrating fidelity to the divine creation. Just like light must dispel darkness, truth must dispel error. What is appearing in our senses is just our thought about what's there. It's not real. And what we mean by that is it's not a self-existent experience. And the only thing that's giving it any power at all is our belief in it. And so when we let go of the belief and we have fidelity to the truth, that must dispel the false. What is appearing in our corporeal senses is the lie. As we cultivate our spiritual sense and we start to live out from that knowledge, that's what we mean by stop thinking, processing things, forming thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our senses, all our human concepts and beliefs and theories. We stop all of that and we exchange it. We trade it in for divine knowing. Life is perfect. And by us having fidelity to that divine principle, divine law, we come out of the belief in two powers. And then we're able to live under the jurisdiction of divine law, which is absolute life, eternal life.
Well, I think what's interesting is when he talks about realizing that right where there is an appearance of either good or evil, there is spiritual reality. And I think that's easy for us to see the evil around us and try to change that appearance, but we're not changing the appearance of what we see that is good around us.
Yeah, and I think what we really want to start to understand is that appearance, whether it's good or bad, is always appearance. We don't want to ever love, hate, or fear appearance. But there's also a purpose for what is appearing in our senses, so that things that do have divine qualities are an indicator that there's a possibility that I might be closer to the truth than if things are in discord or there's lack or limitation appearing. But by the same token, it's an appearance. It's not the truth. The truth is the invisible, intangible omnipresence that is behind the appearance. And that's really what we want to abide in.
Well, that could be confusing because we always say what surrounds us is within us, but then we don't want to be fooled by these appearances either.
Yeah, and I think that's what temptation really is. World thought has a tendency to lure us in with the good. Things are going pretty good, and we have a tendency to accept that and believe it. And most of us, if we can continue to get more of the pleasures and profits of the worldly experience, we're content until that changes. But in truth, you really want to come out of that. And I think it's a whole lot easier to do it when things are going well on a corporeal sense level. You're doing it without the urgency that sometimes happens when you are in a condition or suffering with sickness or disease. On a higher level, this is what they called the wrath of God, the law of karma. And what it's really saying is don't accept anything less than your spiritual identity, what it is the divine has created you as. And to accept ourselves materially, corporeally, is keeping us embroiled in the cycle of death and rebirth.
So, Swami, I think maybe some clarification on a sentence we have in our summary, and I'll read that. What appears as continuous change to material senses is revealing the changeless state of being when perceived spiritually. Maybe we can dig a little deeper with that.
Yeah, I think when you're looking at these astrological events, there is continuous activity, is constant movement, which is what's happening on a corporeal sense level. That's what we're perceiving. Things are moving. But in the truth of being, the origins or what the underlying reality of everything is the changeless state of being, the invisible, intangible, divine consciousness, the unadulterated, unconditioned, pure consciousness out of which all of this seems to be coming out of, but it's just an appearance. As long as we sow to the appearance, we're in this cycle of death and rebirth. But if we have fidelity to what is underneath that, and we gain the spiritual understanding that is behind the physical appearance, then we're anchored in the truth. And this is how we want to try and grow, is by using our mind as an avenue of awareness for the divine idea, the invisible, intangible omnipresence. Now that is your foundation. That's your template that you want to work with. You want to start with the perfection of being. And then you can use the lens of your mind kind of like as a split image. And you want to make sure that what is appearing in your corporeal senses has these divine qualities. And if it doesn't, then the correction doesn't happen on a material level, nor on a spiritual level. The correction happens in how we're thinking. And so learning how to forsake modes of mortal thinking for divine knowing becomes the challenge. And then, of course, to live before thought, above corporeal sense, and then exercise dominion to be able to correct what is appearing in your corporeal senses is really where you're going to find your biggest benefit.
Well, it is that time. We have to start closing down the show for today. So, listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. Once you're on the homepage, you see the fading banner Blog Talk Radio. Just click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also by clicking on the products tab, an online classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in divine knowledge. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.